hopefully we can continue to get the rest of the class in. The pika. If you've hiked in the Rocky Mountains, you've seen the pika when you get above the tree line. They look like a little furry chipmunk, a little bit fatter, shorter tail. And the first thing they do when they see you is they climb up on top of a rock and they will start chattering at you. They're not shy. The thing about the pika is that it dies above a certain temperature. It is essentially dependent on temperatures below. Gosh, I'm sorry, my mind is blanking on the exact temperature, but basically a fairly cool temperature. And as a result, picture a mountain like an island. You get below a certain altitude, the temperatures tend to gravitate towards a warmer amount. So they can only live above that line, and the line is slowly going up. It is almost a mathematical certainty the pika will go extinct. They just have no place else left to go. So that may not happen for 30, 40, 50 years. Is it in danger? Would it matter to you if I told you their populations currently are growing? Growing. Same story with polar bears. Populations are growing. Same story with bearded seals and walruses. Long term, it's looking grim. Currently, the trajectories show population growth is vigorous and the populations are healthy. Same with polar bears?
Yeah.
So even though if you walked above the Arctic Circle, the odds are pretty good you'll see one, and if you're not careful, it will eat you, it's still an extinct species.
Or definition.
Oh, that's a very good lawyer answer. I like that. Okay? Here's why. We'll talk about that in a second. Remember the distinction. Endangered versus threatened. Endangered means an imminent risk of extinction in all or substantial part of its range. Threatened means it's in risk of extinction in the future. Substantial risk of extinction in the future. I'm sorry, I believe it's substantial is the criteria in the statute. Endangered is imminent, threatened is in the future, substantial risk. So, remember here, this could be a threatened species. But remember what we also said, section 4D means that it's up to the agency to determine what percentage, what portions of protection they're going to grant to this threatened species as opposed to an endangered one. In a way, that flexibility plays an important role because here for polar bears, let's say we know within 100 years, they're in serious trouble because they depend on pack ice, which is quickly disappearing. How do you determine critical habitat for polar bears in that context? Is it the ice? Is it the land they need to breed on? Is it the portions of the environment where their food comes from? The short answer is that the 4D special rule carved out large swaths of the Alaskan coastline to the north that was denning territory for polar bears. It's went back and forth, multiple litigation, but ultimately that rule was upheld. Here's the interesting question. That 4D rule also said climate change general effects would not be considered when you start applying this danger listing for consultation purposes and prohibition purposes. In other words, as we'll talk about on Wednesday, the federal government must consult on the impact its actions will have on an endangered species or threatened species whenever it takes an action. What if that action is issuing a permit to a coal-fired power plant in Texas that emits greenhouse gases that could theoretically imperil polar bears in the future? Do you need an Endangered Species Act determination for that? And as much as I'd love to torture you, the short answer, so I can let you all go, is no. The special rule specifically says that for global processes, you don't have to do a, it's set for greenhouse gas purposes, for climate change purposes, in the lower 48 states. There still may be a requirement to take a look at for actions in Alaska. But according to the rule, and according to a memorandum that the rule relies on, that was issued by, again, the Solicitor General, the science currently does not allow us to be able to draw an affirmative causal link to the point where we can make smart decisions on whether or not federal actions that you have to consult on result in a threat, you know, a hemisphere away through indirect climate change processes. So, bottom line, the moral, 4D is especially important in climate change context because a lot of these species are not immediately in danger but will be in the future. 4D is important because it gives flexibility for the administrator or the secretary to define what protections are going to apply when they may not have that flexibility if it's endangered. As these species get increasingly imperiled, as their populations shrink, as climate change effects become more severe, they may tip over from threatened to endangered. Now, a lot of these special bumper rails we built into 4D rules may fall by the wayside. But that's something for your guys' career, not mine. It's probably at least another 10 or 20 years in the future. Okay. So, with, yes? You do not have to consider, you do not have to engage in consultation for federal actions in the lower 48 states that may have an impact on polar bears through indirect climate change processes. Okay? Last final point. On the website, and we'll talk about species triage tomorrow, on Wednesday. I've put over here proposed rules that came out just about 3 months ago. I'm not going to ask you to read them because it's probably a couple hundred pages. But the key thing is that there is an overhaul of these rules for listing on the table right now. So, I'll simply note that there's likely to be severe litigation, but I want to give you a heads up. You know, some of these things I've been talking about, including, like, for example, the 4D rule, there's been a presumption that whenever a species is threatened, they get full the same protections as endangered species, just as a matter of administrative convenience. That's looked to be revoked. So that's a gentle way of me saying everything we've talked about in this class, stay tuned and watch if you're doing work in it, because it may change at some point in the next couple of years. Okay? All right. Then how about this? Give me, I will say for next class, I will start by picking up a few final things. We've talked about polar bears and 4D rules. I'd like to talk a little bit about species triage, but also how technologies are being used to resurrect extinct species, and talk about how that interplays with Endangered Species Act requirements, and what sort of obligations under consultation and under prohibitions of Section 9 there might be that would either apply to this work or compel this work. So with that, you're free souls. Go on. I will see everyone on Wednesday.